Good morning to you all. I'm going to present the ANFAS process, which is a new technology, well, technology developed by Colson. I will not go into very in detail into the whole process. I'm just going to show you what was done to get to a certain goal. So we're going to see what the road was to get from an idea to putting a technology on the market. So this would go through search for alternative ways to remove phosphorus from wastewater, then do the technological development that is necessary, that is required. That would be lab scale testing, pilot scale testing. Then eventually, if everything goes right, you go to a full scale demonstration. Obviously, to get to that point, you need to take some engineering decisions, and that was done along the road. And eventually, you'll come to where you want to be. That's full-scale commercial application of the technology and try to sell it worldwide. Just a bit about my company. I work for Colson. It's a Dutch company specialized in wastewater treatment systems and organic waste treatment systems. We provide design engineering services and also installation services of wastewater treatment plants. And organic waste treatment plants. And furthermore, we also are in the business of optimization of existing plants. To open up the market, we think it's essential to develop own technologies to be able to address specific problems within wastewater treatment. In this way, we're capable of providing tailor-made solutions to the market and cater to specific problems that appear in industry or in normal wastewater treatment. Let's focus on the development of the technologies then, and specifically on the removal of phosphorus. I don't know whether you know it, but phosphorus is running out. I mean, there are just a few places where you can still take phosphorus, find natural phosphorus, so to say, phosphorus ore. Besides this, as has already been stated, demands are getting stricter. And on top of that, conventional removal technologies, they create products that are not, they don't have an added value. Well, they have an added value, but not that much. So they're not easy to put on the market. So taking these three considerations into account, you can say that there's an opportunity to find new ways of removing phosphorus from wastewater. And wastewater, that's my sincere opinion, should be considered as a source of recoverable products. And in this case, it would be nutrients in, and phosphate. So we have an opportunity to develop a new technology, which would be struvite precipitation. And this is the one that we investigated. Just a bit on struvite. There are two types of struvite that we normally address. First one is potassium struvite. Here I'll focus more on ammonium struvite, which is magnesium ammonium phosphate. There's a basic reaction equation. Basically, you just throw in magnesium ammonium phosphate and it precipitates. However, you have to create the conditions, obviously, the process conditions for it to precipitate properly. This is mainly a pH adjustment and provide the lacking compound to make the reaction go forward. You have to adjust the pH upwards towards 8, 9, and you have to add magnesium so that it precipitates. After the precipitation, struvite can then be recovered as a solid and eventually can be sold as a slow-release fertilizer of nitrogen and phosphorus. Basic flow diagram would look like this if we take everything into account. We have our wastewater. It goes into a stripping tank. I forgot to say that in the previous slide. Stripping is a good way to adjust the pH because then you take out the CO2 and the pH goes up. You provide air to do that. Then you pump it to a reaction tank in which you to which you add some milk of magnesium hydroxide, which also increases a bit the pH. Then you have a choice. You can either mix the tank with air or you can mix it with a mechanical mixer. It depends on the reactor configuration that you want to apply. Then you recover the struvite through a separation step, and you store it. Storage, then you have still a choice, whether you want to dehydrate it further, dewater it further to provide a more dry product or a more liquid, hydrated product. And you leave the plant with treated wastewater. I'm still not going to go into detail what's before or what is after. That'll come in a bit to the front. To get to a full-scale process, well, you have to do some things. We already saw the considerations. Then you have to see how you want to develop it. For that, you have to develop lab-scale and pilot-scale experiments. Lab-scale, pilot-scale serve well to demonstrate that struvite precipitation could be a sustainable method to recover phosphate. It is also good to demonstrate robustness of the process, that it works well under several kinds of conditions, and that you can actually obtain high phosphorus and some N removal. It should be high phosphorus removal and some N removal at low operational costs. And what is important as well, you can also contribute to closing the phosphorus cycle. I have to stress this because this project could not have been made possible with a partner of Colson, which is a potato processing plant, that thought it necessary to do something within the recovery of nutrients and in this specific case recovering phosphorus and give back the phosphorus to the people that actually provide them with the primary products, which is potatoes. So like that, they can contribute to closing of the phosphorus cycle. I've just given here a very schematic representation of that phosphorus cycle, in which we start on top with a potato cultivation. For that, you need fertilizer, including phosphorus. You lose, at every step, you lose a bit. So with a potato cultivation, you lose phosphorus through infiltration, rain. Then it goes to a potato processing facility. There, obviously, you lose phosphorus in your product that you sell. Eventually, this production process results in waste formation, potato peels, stuff like that, but also wastewater that is generated during processing. When you just discharge the treated wastewater, it also contains phosphorus. You lose some there as well. You produce sludge. Bacteria need phosphorus, so there's phosphorus there included as well. Now, you can do something about this by trying to recover a bit of phosphorus through struvite precipitation and then close at least a tiny bit of the loop, the cycle, and give the fertilizer back or sell it, whatever it's more appropriate, to the agriculturists that cultivate the potatoes. So that made it possible, those two partners. The partner was actually Lamp Weston Meyer, Dutch potato processing company, made it possible to go to a pilot scale. Specific objectives of pilot scale development were to verify the process conditions at increased scale, check the pH, see where you can get with stripping to what kind of pH, and what kind of whether you should apply a continuous process or a batch process. Examine obviously the quantity and the quality of your phosphorus because you want to sell it. It needs to be a sellable product. But also very important, what is the effect of the struvite precipitation on subsequent treatment steps? Because if you're going to strip CO2, you're also going to take out a lot of your buffering capacity. And that might have a strong effect on biological processes after this struvite precipitation. Another important factor is the settling. What kind of settler do you want to use to take the struvite out of the process? And, well, finally, obviously, taking all the points into account, you want to extract enough data to get to a full-scale application. the pilot scale testing, which happened in the beginning of the 21st century, some years ago, showed that stable phosphorus removal is possible through struvite precipitation. The phosphate concentration, the total peak concentration that we were able to achieve, went down to 10 milligrams per liter. Ammonia is obviously removed, but also COD, which is also encapsulated by the struvite. So you also incorporate a bit of organic material in your struvite stream. To make the reaction go, you need to overdose magnesium. You just need to push that reaction forward. And struvite that was produced is applicable as a fertilizer, and you can actually sell it. So in this way, you could contribute to the closing the phosphorus cycle. And what required a lot of attention is the actual removal of the struvite, because it's very hygroscopic. It attracts water. It's very difficult to dewater. So that required a lot of attention as well. This all resulted in the possibility to take it to full-scale demonstration. This was also done with the Dutch potato processing plant, Lamb Weston Meyer, and it was funded by the European Union. Just quickly, it was a phase project which went through the normal project phases of design and engineering. By this time, there was a name, ANFOS. That's just simply phosphate removal from anaerobic effluents. I'll get to that. Building, constructing the plant, monitoring and testing, started up, and then dissemination of results. Just a few main decisions obviously are made during the engineering phase, because there we had to decide what kind of process we were going to apply. And it was chosen to go for a sequencing batch operation instead of a continuous operation. There are other technologies that apply continuous operation here, sequencing batch. For that, it was necessary to install two treatment lines so that we could go for continuous operation 24 hours a day. The two lines also introduced, it gave us more flexibility. And basically, well, if one line goes out of it goes offline, you can use the other line just still to process your wastewater. Then a few pictures of the full-scale construction. Well, there's basically a lot of sludge and some civil construction. It wasn't ready yet. Then the testing. And here, I'm already busy with the dissemination. These are the technical data of this first plant. 5,000 cubic meters per day can be treated. The peak concentration goes down from 50 to 10 milligrams per liter. The two lines consist of a stripper of 350 cubic meters and a reactor of 665 cubic meters, and 1.8 tons of struvite can be recovered, which is considerable. So this was a success. The success has to be taken further. This was not the job of the factory where it was installed, but it was our job to take it further. So this was installed at more potato processing factories. One, again, this is in the Netherlands, Beek en Kroef. Almost 3,000 cubic meters are treated. P reduction is considerable. Again, the same kind of philosophy. Two lines, each with a stripper and a reactor, and 1.1 tons a day can be recovered. Another one, this is Lamb Weston Meyer, the same company, but at another production site, 2,400 cubic meters per day. And another one in Italy, which is the most recent full scale that we have installed. It's a bit more concentrated, it's a bit smaller. Here it was only necessary to install one line because they don't produce continuously. Obviously, these ANFOS installations, they don't work alone. They're a part of a bigger process for the treatment of wastewater. And specifically, here, this is specifically dedicated to potato processing wastewater. This is a basic scheme of for the treatment of wastewater and organic waste from potato processing plants. And you try to get the most out of it in terms of energy and fertilizers, nutrients, etc. So you see here two streams going in. I don't know whether it's visible. First of all, organic waste, potato peels. And the second one is industrial wastewater. I'll first go through the organic waste stream. There, what Coulson normally does is apply thermophilic digestion of the organic waste. You join the organic waste with sludge, primary sludge that you take from the industrial wastewater, feed it to a thermophilic digester, produce the biogas, then the digestate, you separate it into a concentrated stream, which you might be able to sell as organic fertilizer. The liquid stream, you join in with your wastewater, and you feed it to a USB reactor, which is an anaerobic sludge blanket, to produce additional biogas. Only after that, you go into the ANFOS process to recover phosphate as struvite. Then you still have your nitrogen to remove. For that, we apply the new activated sludge treatment process, which is not an activated sludge process, but a combination. It's a partial nitrification and anammox. This way, we can also reduce the energy consumption there. After that, you post-treat it with an MBR, and you have a treated wastewater which you can discharge. The biogas itself contains hydrogen sulfide. You also want to take that out to protect the cogeneration plant that comes after. We produce diluted sulfuric acid through biological oxidation. Then you have the choice whether you want to use that diluted sulfuric acid for cleaning purposes, or you just add it again to your wastewater stream. And then obviously you can produce electricity and heat. So this would be a complete, these we have installed actually at all those potato processing plants. New development is the phosphate removal from rejection wastewater from centrifuges. This is a bit harder to treat because there's more suspended solids involved. But we have run successfully a pilot plant at a wastewater treatment plant in the Netherlands, Land van Kuik. It was a 5 cubic meters per day plant, and now they're actually going to full scale, not still without technology, but a tender has come out to apply this at full scale. So there is a future. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Merce Baldi from JS in IMA, and I have a question. The air quantity flow you need for the stripping, I understand you have to treat it with a Batman treatment process.
Excuse me?
The air you use air for the stripping,
yeah.
I understand it's a very other...
you should treat it.
It's a problem, yeah. and you have to treat it. And what's the flow of air that you need for stripping?
It depends.
So this could be a problem, because that's...
It could be a problem, but normally the flows of air are not that strong. But since you're dealing with an anaerobic effluent, yeah, you can strip some sulfide. But at the same time, you might oxidize it as well towards SO2. I cannot really tell you what flows of air, because it really depends on the kind of treatment process. But comparably to normal biological treatment systems, it's not that much. It's just enough to take out enough CO2 to take your pH to 8.5 or 9. I'm sorry that I cannot be more specific.
Sebastià Puig, University of Girona. Thank you for your presentation. I'm really interested. I think that it will be nice if you can give us some comments about the Strubite market, because as far as I know, you have some nice experience in the Netherlands and also in Italy, and it could be nice to see what, how do the value of a Strubite in those countries, or at the end your comments on that.
It depends. prices that we use for to sell Struvite is less than 10 euros a ton. So it's not a gold mine, so to say. It is really not a gold mine. But actually you can receive something for what was before considered a waste stream. So you do not have costs associated. I don't know how they do it in Pizzoli. In Holland, it is like that. We use about 7.5-8 euros per ton. So it's just to reduce a bit your treatment costs, but it will not make you rich. That's for sure.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, my name is Irene Jubany from CTM. My question is if you, which are the requirements in concentration of phosphorus and ammonia for this process to be economically viable?
Well, as you saw, the phosphate concentration, the phosphorus concentration were going up. I mean, the first application was about 50 milligrams, then eventually it goes a bit up. Now we're dealing with rejection water, which is already quite high, 500 milligrams. Currently, we're also dealing with a project where you actually have a lack of ammonium. So you have to incorporate the flexibility. You have to incorporate an ammonia dosing system, which, well, it's, I don't know whether that is nice, but in every situation is different. Normally, you only have to add magnesium. And normally, you have more than enough ammonium present to precipitate your phosphate. But then again, eventually you'll get a client that where you have to actually dose ammonium. And another thing is, if you've got potassium present, you can precipitate it with potassium. And that is actually a project that we're developing also with Lykia, where we have that two possibilities to remove struvite from manure. For that, you can use potassium and you can use ammonia because they're both present. So it is, it depends, unfortunately, but that's engineering.
Another question. Do you have problems with calcium phosphate precipitation in this?
It can happen, yeah, it can happen.
Is it often?
Well, if you look at your stripping tank, there you already take up your pH to 8 or 9. So calcium will already start precipitating. The biggest problem is the struvite itself, because struvite is also, it comes out of solution and it can scale like a madman. It sticks to everything. So normally calcium carbonate is not such a problem. It's more the struvite itself that creates the problem, and you have to take additional measures so that you don't have problems with that struvite.
Ramon Ganiguel, aquí, Universidad de Girona. Just a quick question. You mentioned that when you do the CO2 stripping, you may have issues with the buffering on the treatment afterwards. You have a partial nitrogen anammox system at the like at the effluent of your phosphate precipitation. You need a molar ratio of 1 mole of bicarbonate per 1 mole of ammonium in this treatment. Did you experience any issues with a lack of bicarbonate or lack of buffering capacity in that process?
Up to now, no. But it is something that we always take into account when we design a new process. It is something that you have to deal with. Sometimes you'll have to include dosing of, for example, caustic soda to just include a bit more of cations to retain a bit of bicarbonate and provide the alkalinity that you lack, or provide the alkalinity to correct for the lack of buffering capacity. So, and again, I mean, every situation is different. That's the beauty about engineering, that every time that you get a new project, it's a puzzle and you try to get the best out of it. But no wastewater is alike. So we're dealing with real life situations. And yeah, that's why I always say it depends, because it really depends on the situation that you have. I cannot give you a standard parameter that we use for this kind of thing. I'm sorry.
No, thanks.